I went to Turkey in 2001, and I joined Andrew and Noreen Brunson. As you know them, Andrew invited me at the same time God was telling me to go to a Muslim country, and then he opened that up. And just to give the background, Turkey is not one of these places like you hear about people going to Zimbabwe. You feel people here going to these other African countries especially, it seems like, or Brazil. And you hear about all these amazing miracles and people get raised from the dead, you know. It's like if you can go to Africa, you can see the miracles of God, but you know, not so much in other places. Turkey is not that way. Turkey is dry as dust. I mean, when we were first there, God was working. I mean, he was working. He was doing amazing things. But even our services, Pastor John, it was like this worship just feels like just it's so dry. It's like, where did the presence of God go? Where did that anointing that I used to experience, where did it go? Where's all those prophetic words that used to flow? And when I'd laid hands on people or somebody else was laying hands on people and the Holy Spirit would come in power, because I had come from a background where I had experienced a lot of wonderful things in the Lord. And it was just dry, you know, and it was oppressive. So when I tell the story, don't think that, oh, it's just easier in Turkey. I'm telling you, it was not easier. In fact, it was hard. And the hardness of it combined with a vision for what God could do is what brought us to our knees in that place, and we started crying out to God. So in 2004, when I was in Turkey, I was by myself at home, and this old song from like the 80s or 90s, this old song came to my mind, and it reminded me of all these glorious things that I used to be a part of. I mean, I remember our pastor just saying, Holy Spirit, come. And within 20 minutes, like, it was holy chaos. The 300 people just all over, people just getting mightily touched by the Holy Spirit, demons coming out of people, people getting healed, people, you know, wild stuff. But it was absolutely amazing. And I saw John Wimber minister, and it was during the 90s and the Toronto outpouring. And anybody who lived back then and experienced that probably knows what I'm talking about, because you went to a conference or you did something where you saw how God was moving during that time. And so it had been years since I had experienced anything like that. It had been several years, not only at our church in Turkey, but even in the churches that I was connected to back in the States. It wasn't the same anymore. And when that song came to my mind, all of these glorious things that God had done, his presence, the intimacy, all that stuff came to my mind, and I began to sob before God. It wasn't just crying. I was crying out loud, saying, God, where did it go? Where's your presence? Where's all that glory? And I began to weep before God and cry out to him. And shortly after that, I made a decision to go to the States because of some health issues. But right before I went, the Lord said, I'm sending you there to equip you. And I'm not going to go into that story, but for a two-year time period, I was going to different states asking myself, where did the move of God go? Because it wasn't at the churches in Atlanta where I'm from. The old churches that used to be experiencing revival, they weren't experiencing revival anymore. I could almost cry when I would go into the services. And it wasn't that they were doing badly. I mean, it was still a good church, but it's like, where's the stuff, God? Why aren't you moving anymore? And I found some places, and you guys know about it. This is like 2005, 2006. I came up and went to a Voice of the Apostles conference. I heard Heidi Baker for the first time, Randy Clark, Bill Johnson. And if you guys went to some of the conferences back then, you kind of know they were absolutely amazing. I went out to Bethel and spent about 6 weeks out there. At one point, I spent 28 days up in the mountains of Georgia praying in a tent. There was just this process of 2 years where I was so happy to find places and people and churches that were where God was moving. But what that led to was me going back to Turkey. And when Andrew and Noreen and our church, they were plugging along, you know, as best they could in that dry atmosphere of Turkey. And so when I came back, I was all excited and I was telling them all about things. And the significance of that was that some things happened, which I'm going to have to skip over. But Andrew, at first, was kind of uncomfortable with what I was saying. He'll talk about that. He'll tell you. I was like, what are you saying, Ken? It just sounds too radical. But we had a service where God just kind of landed on him and all this stuff happened at our church in Turkey, and it just was a pivot point. And then later, he had an opportunity to hear Bill Johnson speak, where Bill Johnson was talking about being a wave starter. If you go into a place and the wave of God is already there, it's so awesome. Like, you know, you go up to Toronto, you go to a great conference or wherever, and there's a wave, and you go in there and you feel the presence of God. And next thing you know you're hearing from God, you're getting words of knowledge or whatever. But we had no wave in Turkey. There was just simply no wave to ride in Turkey. And so the sermon was really appropriate, and it really impacted Andrew. He says, we have no choice but to start a wave. We have to be a wave starter. So when he got back, this is 2007, he started our glory nights. It was first in Saturday nights. And I joined them back in 2008, and I'm going to get into the glory nights in a minute, but 2008, we started the year, the first 72 hours, with a prayer chain. Somebody came up with this idea, and we were just hungry. And this is, you know, if you hear anything right now, just, there's more and I want it. That's it. Simple. There's more and I want it. You can go around and say, well, if God wants to do what he wants to do, let him do it. You know, when I hear that, that's not a hungry person. It sounds theologically correct and it sounds humble, but it's not pleasing to the Lord. He wants us to hunger after him. When we read in his word that he's a God who does wonders, he wants us to long for that because that's who he is. He wants to show himself in glory. It's not just for us. There are multitudes of people who have desperate need to meet a loving God that can transform their lives. So in 2008, hungry as we could be, we did these prayer chains in our prayer chapel. So it was two-hour segments. You know, it might be five people, it might be three people, it might be eight people to take 2 hours, it might be one person. But we went for the 72 hours, and after the end of the 72 hours, we had our glory night. So that's how we started the year. Then we did a 36-hour prayer chain, and then we settled down to 24-hour prayer chain every weekend, followed on Saturday night by our glory night, okay? So this is just practically what we were doing as a church. And what we were praying, at least what I was praying, and what Andrew was praying, what some of the, you know, some core people were praying, was, you know, not just your normal, your list, right? It was nothing less than, Lord, open the heavens, pour out your spirit in power upon us, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, all of that stuff. Come, Lord, as we see in Scripture. And we were doing it 24 hours. And in the glory night, I want to tell you about this because it was so significant. I remember Andrew was asking me, what do you think, Ken? I've picked these songs for tonight. I remember this was like in the early, one of the first glory nights I was a part of. Andrew had picked like 27 or 28 songs. Now, he didn't do all of those songs. But honestly, that's how many songs he chose. He had a stack of songs. We're just, you know, you wonder what? We're going to worship God until his glory comes. There was no, it was like 27 songs. So it was, I'm serious. And so, I mean, like later on, I've asked people, like, I don't want to exaggerate. Did we really like go for like 3+ hours, you know, on our glory nights and worship, like with one worship leader? Can you imagine? And it's true because I remember years later, like this is like a 10, from 2008 till recently. I remember one of our worship leaders saying to me, Kent, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to stop after 2 hours. I can't do more than 2 hours anymore. Because, and this was Lou. I mean, she's like now in like 61, 62 years old. So she's like, I can't do more than 2 hours. So I know it's true. Like it was over. It was like over 2 hours, just pure worship part. And so that glory night continued for years after that. But in 2008 was very significant because we also teamed up with a couple of other churches that did, one did like a week long prayer chain thing, every day praying for revival. And then with this other church did another 72-hour prayer chain in with them. And this was in the spring of 2008. And I came back to the States just for a visit. And my supporting church was Pastor Shin's church in Seattle. So while I was out in Seattle, okay, we start hearing about this Lakeland revival, okay, with Todd Bentley. And I understand you guys went down there so I can talk freely at this church because there were some unfortunate things that happened later. But Andrew calls me and he's like, okay, Ken, I need to talk to Shin. Pastor Shin, because he had gone down there. I need to find out, is it worth it for me to go all the way from Turkey down there? It's like, is this really from God? Is it worth it for me? Because Andrew hated traveling. And it's expensive, and you have to leave your family, and you have to leave your church. And so he talked to Pastor Shin, and Pastor Shin said, yeah, it's worth it. So I fly from Seattle, meet Andrew in Florida, and with another lady from our church named Lucille, because we're just hungry. We want to receive more for us, and also to bring back to Turkey. And this is, okay, I hope you're enjoying the story, but this part of the story is one of my favorite parts, okay? Because, like I said, I had like this 2 years of being able to go all of these wonderful conferences, you know, while Andrew is just trudging it out, you know, in Turkey. So when his spirit was awakened to there's more, his hunger really just ravenous hunger. And so I remember him, he went forward during the worship at these Lakeland revival meetings. This was when there was probably about 3,000 people in a huge auditorium. And a whole crowd of people would come forward during the worship. And just Andrew, you've seen Andrew. You've never seen him do something like that. But he was just, right, he's very cerebral. He's very serious. But he was just like so hungry, so he went forward, and Lucille and I stayed back at the seats. And I remember the night because I sensed something like almost in the spirit, like something during the worship, and I found myself praying for Andrew. I couldn't even see him. I mean, it was like this crowd up there. Well, later on, the worship ends, and they're going through, you know, that transition period before you get to the sermon. And it's been a long time. We're like 2.5-3 hours into, I mean, these meetings are extremely long. And Lucille and I are looking around, where's Andrew? We can't find him. Finally, over to the left, there's Andrew, and he's standing there, and he is just shaking like this. Okay, and if you know Andrew, Andrew is not going to shake because he got worked up, you know, in his own emotions or, you know, psyched himself into shaking. In fact, this had never happened to him before. And so Lucille and I are like, oh, praise God, you know. So he comes back. We hear the story, okay? So here's the story. I confirmed it with him recently when I was talking to him. He was up there and he was just crying out, Lord, show me your glory. You guys ready to cry out for that? Are you ready? He said, Lord, show me your glory. And this is not a man that had a history and experience to expect God to do that much. I mean, he had experienced things in God, don't get me wrong, but I'm sure there's people out there just like Andrew. That's what I'm trying to say. That just like, it's like a dream. And he heard a response. I'm going to show you my glory. But he had no idea that moments later he was going to get hit with the Holy Spirit. When everybody else is just worshiping around him. But we didn't get to see this part because he was in the crowd. But he said, I was shaking so strongly. It was like a big hand took me like I was a rag doll. It was just shaking me like this. It was violent. almost to the point that it hurt. But of course, he knew it was wonderful and it was God, right, all at the same time. It lasted for about 2.5 hours. So we get in the car after all this, and I remember Andrew, we're just driving back to the place where we're staying, and he's just in shock. He's absolutely stunned. That night was the beginning of an absolute transformation. And this is somebody that ardently seeking God for years and had experienced many things in God, but this was way over more than he had ever experienced. The next night, goes forward like he did before. But again, the Lord just sovereignly comes upon him, and he said it was like different parts of his body each night were shaking. Like, yeah, yeah. So that was another 2 hours. Then the third night, again. The fourth night, we were, Lucille and I are at the seats again. Where's Andrew? This is not like, this is way, the sermon is already underway. I mean, we're way into the meeting. And I see Andrew finally, he kind of comes back looking kind of like a zombie, like he can't even hardly walk. And he sits down next to me and he turns to me and he goes, "Kid, I couldn't get up." He was on the floor for over 4 hours. He couldn't move his limbs. But there were things that happened during this time as well. And not only did he receive like just a major download of God's presence into his life, but the Lord spoke to him as well. And I want to tell you one thing that God said. He may have shared this before, but we'll share it again. He hears from the Lord, "Are you willing to give up your security to have more of me?" What are we willing to give up to have more of God? How hungry are we for more of him? You know, and what he was experiencing was like, just puts a whole new definition on what it means to have more of God. I mean, and of course, Andrew said yes. And he lost their church building. He lost his salary. He literally lost everything that was financial security, etc. He had all of these people supporting him that immediately stopped supporting him. But was it worth it? You bet it was. You bet it was. We went, so of course, Lucille and I are also receiving prayer, and you know, and wonderful things are happening, but you know, not like with Andrew. So we go back to Turkey, and this is, of course, this year. We've been praying this whole year. So this is now May of 2008. So our normal glory night is on Saturday night. And so Andrew makes this decision. We're going to have an impartation service. Okay, I don't think we'd never had an impartation service. I never heard of anybody having an impartation service in our area. It was just completely by faith because we didn't want to just receive for ourselves. We wanted to receive something that we can bring back to Turkey. So call the churches, let them know. And there's just a few churches in our city of Izmir. And different people from different churches, from the Baptist church, from Lighthouse church, which is, you know, kind of an international church, et cetera, showed up. We had a little over 100 people, which is a pretty big crowd in Turkey, believe it or not. And we shared the testimonies of the amazing miracles that we witnessed in Lakeland, Florida. I mean, there were so many miracles. Like, I'm not even touching on that because that was just amazing. We did not share anything about what Andrew had personally experienced. But we told the people, "We want to pray for you that God would bring his presence and his glory upon you." And we had absolutely no idea what was going to happen. Up until this time, we had an occasional prophetic word. Sometimes, you know, there were time to time people would be healed. There were things happening. God was doing some things. We probably had 2 or 3 people fall out in the spirit, like in the last few years. You know, that was kind of, it wasn't real common. And so the people line up, and Andrew's really nervous. He's like, "What if nothing happens? You know, we're just going to look really ridiculous." And we pray for the first person. You know, the person smiles, says thank you or something, whatever. You know, we get to the second person. Okay. We get to the third person, and from that person on, it was like the heavens were opened. It was absolutely amazing. Every single person we prayed for was just getting really, really, really touched by the Holy Spirit. And we weren't even praying very specific things. We were just saying, God, come and touch this person. May your presence come upon them. May you fill them with your Holy Spirit, things like that. And we had pastors there and different people, and there were, you know, just, I mean, sorry if this is a little too crazy. I mean, just had bodies of people just laying all over. And it went just for hours like this. And later on, the testimonies came, people getting healed. We didn't even know they needed to be healed. It was just happening. And, you know, one pastor was glued to the ground for like 45 minutes. You know, another lady was on the floor for like 2 hours, couldn't get up. I might be mixing some of the stories because after that we had like, so I can't remember. But I know we went to like 12:30 at night, and it was so powerful. The next day was Sunday, so we normally had our service at like 12, or I think it was 12 at the time. And so people were coming over from another church after their service to join us. So we had pastors and others from these other churches because of what God was doing. And we finished like at 6:30 that night. So we were there. We were there for over 6 hours. And I remember we had actually something scheduled at 3 o'clock for somebody to do like this special teaching. And so somebody is manifesting demons by this point because the Holy Spirit's just touching people. All these things are happening, right? Like, I can't remember hardly anybody not getting touched, like, after that third person. It was like, I don't want to exaggerate. I don't remember for sure, but that's what I remember. It was like, this is amazing. Like, it was so, like, intense that me, with a lot of background in this stuff, started to kind of freak out a little bit. Like I wasn't even feeling anything sometimes. You just go and... It was weeping and laughing and shaking and all these things, right? Which led to all kinds of wonderful things. Just a pause for it. Why do people shake and all these things? I'm going to give you my explanation. It comes from John Wimber. I think it's the best explanation. It's very, very simple. It's a bodily response to the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. If you stick your finger in a socket, that electricity is going to cause you to shake or fall down. If you stand and there's a flash flood coming straight your way, and it hits you, you're going to get leveled. And when the power of God comes upon a person, their body and their emotions, it's just overwhelmed by it. And that's it. So what's really happening is actually invisible, right? The invisible presence of God is doing transformation, bringing people into deeper intimacy with God, filling them with his power, healing them, doing all kinds of things when he comes. The outward manifestation is not like that's not like the end goal. It's just kind of like a side thing. When God comes, it just happens. It's happened throughout history. So this was happening. So we went every night that week, except Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every night. We had people coming in from different parts of the country, like coming from Ankara, you know, places where you normally would have to take a airplane flight, pastors and so on. And the Lord just continued at the exact same intensity that when it started. And to be honest with you, we were like, why isn't like everybody in the world coming to this? Like, can't they see that this is amazing? And not everybody recognized it. Even people in our own church criticized what was going on. And we were not a non-charismatic church. I mean, these were people who spoke in tongues. It was just too much, right? It was like there was this reaction. And that was disappointing. But interesting, despite the fact that not everybody recognized, the measure of the presence of God was the same. You know, whether there was 20 people, 100 people, or whatever, the measure of the presence of God and what he was doing was consistent. And I remember in that first week or second week, I can't remember, I think it was Jacqueline. It was Andrew's daughter or Noreen. I can't remember. I get this call late at night. And they said, Andrew, I think, I can't remember if he was laughing or shaking or something. Andrew is on the bed and he's shaking and he's laughing. And I just thought, and they're just kind of like, what's going on? And then, and at times Andrew would start shaking in the bed at night. And he didn't want to wake up and freak out his wife, Noreen. So he said he would get up out of the bed and go into the living room, you know. Like God would just visit him at night. I didn't have that experience, so I'm telling you what. And one of those times was where he spoke to Andrew. And Andrew shared this. I don't mind sharing it. God spoke to him about his pride. And there was just this deep transformation that took place in his life. And now he puts on a cloak of humility when he comes out to minister. An invisible cloak. But the things that God did is very, very difficult to the list. There was healings and people getting healed on the bus. Andrew was at Jordan's school and talking to the principal and some of the teachers. He ended up praying for like three or four of them. They were all healed. We went out on the streets at one point. People getting healed out on the streets. And there were, and healing was not the only thing happening, obviously, but this is just one of them. So it was every week. Every week people were being healed. Almost every single service, and this is not an exaggeration, almost every single service there were manifestations of demons. I want to ask you something. Where were those demons before this outpouring? These were all believers, down to the last one. I mean, there's a few unbelievers that came in. Where were those demons before the outpouring took place? They were already there, weren't they? They were already there. So what happened when this outpouring took place? The Holy Spirit started to do what we had failed to do. I mean, let's face it, we had failed to do it. We had not ministered deliverance to all these people. And the other pastors at the other churches, which I know believed in deliverance, and they were strong in that area. But what's so amazing about that to me is that do not underestimate the power and presence of the Holy Spirit like what I'm talking about right now. He is the one who does the works of Jesus. When he comes against Satan and his works. So you can better believe it. Satan does not want us to be hungry. He does not want us to seek this. He wants us to dismiss it as some sort of crazy maniac kind of stuff. Like it's just some tangential, frivolous, emotional something or another that really doesn't have real substance. I want to tell you, it has substance. When God comes in power, the same things that happened when Jesus went to a synagogue took place. You remember, he would go to a synagogue. What happened? Somebody starts crying out, some demon. We know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Do you think the previous Sabbath, when the rabbi was preaching, that happened? Oh, no, I don't think so. It was the threat of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that caused those demons to just go wild with fear, and they manifested. We saw the same thing happening by the Spirit of Jesus when he came in power. And person after person got delivered. Remember, a man came, he was this tall young man. Andrew and I prayed for him. He was from another church. His pastors were there. He went out in the Spirit. And after a while, there was this combination of just this sobbing and just this crying and then manifestation of demons. And his pastors were there. They proceeded to cast these demons out as the Holy Spirit had come upon him. And I had no idea what was going on, like why, you know, what kind of demons they were, or anything like that. He came back for like a week later and came to me with this lady that was kind of like his mentor. And he shared with me that what he was dealing with was homosexuality. He was a part of the church, but he was dealing with homosexuality. And he said, Kent, something like that. He said, Kent, I've never felt more freedom than I do now. Can I bring my friends who are having the same problem? We had no idea. Just that, just amen, right? Amen. So, let me see here. Where am I going with all this? Yeah, demons coming out of people, going out in the streets. I'm going to try to tell a couple of stories. I got too much to share, but I want to share it anyway. Go forward. We had our church retreat, and we have this man named Mehmet among us, young man. He's from Syria originally, Kurdish, and brand new believer. And we have like this Friday night part of our retreat, our camp, where we just go for it, right? So we're like praying for people like one after another after another. And it's like 12:30 at night. I'm like really tired by now, you know, because we had, you know, part of that camp, you know how it goes. I remember going to get a little tea, and I came back, and Andrew and Noreen were praying for Mehmet. And next thing you know, Mehmet is on the ground, and he's obviously having some encounter with God. He's like interacting. He's doing things with his hands and stuff like that. And he was like that for over like 2.5 hours or so. We had one guy that just sat with him, just to be with him, because everybody else went to bed. And it took him a while before him to fully share what had happened. And this is, and what I'm sharing here, these things happened like a lot after the outpouring of the Spirit. Not so, I mean, it happened before, but when the Spirit of God came upon him and other people, similar things happened. But basically, he found himself at our church, which we weren't at our church, we were somewhere else. And this man appears to him, glowing, you know, in white robe and all that. It was obviously Jesus. And Jesus is speaking to him in three different languages. I just love this. He's speaking to him in Kurdish, Arabic, and Turkish, the three languages that he speaks. And he's saying, I want you to be trained by Andrew and this, and I'm going to send you to people and all this. So it's amazing stuff. And at one point, Jesus extends to him a chalice and says, drink this. And so this is one of his movements. He had reached out to bring it and to drink it, you know. He actually literally did like that, you know. And he felt like this great peace or something. Anyway, but it was life transforming for Mehmet. And it was just so many other things after that. And one of the things, and this is just kind of all the things kind of running together, but during our worship, which we did, of course, on our glory night, we also did on Sunday, the Holy Spirit would regularly come and touch people. And at one point, Mehmet, later on, you know, he just goes right out in the Spirit during the worship. There's nobody standing behind him, so he just crashes to the floor, right? And then later on, you know, from time to time, similar things would happen. And I remember one was a lady named Yasmin, who was from Ecuador, and she was from a conservative Baptist background. She had been a Baptist pastor in Ecuador, and so this was all new to her. But yeah, during the worship, crash, and she's gone out in the Spirit, and Jesus appears to her, you know? And we could just keep going. And so it got to the point where I like, okay, Lord, never stop this. You want to meet your people during the time of worship. You know, when there's things that happens, I am absolutely convinced that God wants us to take those events, not as special events that he sovereignly decided to do and maybe tomorrow he might not want to do it. Now, I'm not saying that we have to be discerning about that. But he does things so we know what he can and will do. And so I was contending for it. I said, Lord, let this never stop. We see this in Scripture. When they worshiped you, they came and filled the glory. You know, the temple was filled with their glory in response to their worship. You were doing that. You were meeting us in this time. And I said, do it, Lord. And I remember being on the front row, and this is like a few years later. And during the worship, I'm just going after in prayer. Lord, come right now. Come. Come in your Holy Spirit. Come and start touching people. Show your glory. You want to meet us right now as we worship you. And I remember one Sunday I was doing that. It was following like 3 weeks of just this oppression that had come upon our church. We were getting attacked as we were going into starting a training school. And it was just obvious. Okay, we're doing a training school. Boom, the enemy starts attacking. People stop showing up. And it was just a heaviness, right? You know, and so I'm like, oh, God, come. Next thing I know, people start getting touched out in the congregation. And these weren't not necessarily people that you know, get touched every time, and this is the one that always happens. It was different ones. And well, anyway, I got too many stories to tell. It's just too many. But that day, there were several people that were being touched, and we had unbelievers there that were witnessing all of these things. And they were nothing less than just really startling. And when I share this, we started having unbelievers come into our services on a pretty regular basis. At one point, we just started opening our windows, and they could see, and they can come by. When it first started happening, I mean, it was so wild. There's people are shaking, there are people weeping, they're laughing, all of these things are happening. I'm seeing these people come in that are guests. You know, they're generally Muslims, Turkish Muslims. And I'm looking at them thinking they're going to get up and run out of here. You know, honestly, I cannot remember a single time that I witnessed somebody leave. What I saw happen over and over again is then see what happened and they went forward for prayer. And God touched them in the same way he was touching everybody else. And it happened over and over and over again to the point it was just a normal experience for us. Unbelievers come in, we offer prayer, and they get hit with the Holy Spirit. They need healing, they may get healing, and they need deliverance. Sometimes, from time to time, there would be deliverance. But most of the time, they would just experience God's presence and often have like a vision of Jesus. And I was going to tell you one of the stories that just went straight out of my head. Oh, where did it go? Oh, so this one lady, I remember very early on, she comes forward and it's me, Andrew, and Noreen, and we're praying for her. We've got hands lightly on her, and she opens her eyes and she goes, "You're pushing me." And we really weren't. We were like really anti-push. Like that was not, you know, we had seen that on TV or whatever. We were totally not for that. And I told the lady, I said, "Okay, we won't touch you." So we just removed our hands and said, "Holy Spirit, come." Boom. She went right to the floor under the power of the Holy Spirit. I ran into a guy in a dolmush, one of these little van things, that little public transportation that can take you around. This guy looks at me and goes, "I remember you. You pushed me down at the church." "I pushed you down? No. Okay, we got to really explain this to people. Like, what happened, you know? Amazing, right? Glory, glory, glory. I can just keep going and going and going. I shared Handan's story back years ago. I came and visited. We were having a single social, had a picnic, went back to the church, and we're going to watch a film. The next thing, where's Handan? Find out she's down in the chapel, and the Holy Spirit had just come on her, like at the oddest time. Right? And this other lady, Gungar, was with her there and said, and she called me actually, "Kent, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do when this like that type of thing happens. Handan's here and she's shaking. She's laying down light shaking on the floor." I said, "Okay." So I went, go downstairs and there's Handan and she's not, she's like this. I said, "Oh my gosh." Okay. So after a little while, she calls me again because I go back to watch the film and she calls me again. Gungar does, and says, "Kent, she's got to get home. We got to get her on the bus to take her home, you know, so that she can get home because the buses stop at 12 o'clock and it's getting late." So I'll go downstairs. So Gungar and I get Handan between us, you know, and so we kind of take her out of the church and we're going down the sidewalk. We get about 20 yards and we realize, you know, Handan is as limp as a wet noodle and it's just like, I mean, she's just completely, it's not going to happen. So we had to turn her around, bring her back, and find this place where she'd be laying. And I hope this is not too crazy for you guys, but it really happened. We lay her down. And as soon as she hits it, it was like a fish, you know, hitting the floor. It was like, and this Handan's a smart lady. She was worked for the government, and she was intelligent. I mean, it wasn't, you know. Well, this went all night till the next morning. Gungar stayed with her. I asked Handan the next day, probably Handan didn't share everything with me. I said, "What happened?" She goes, "I found myself in this cloud." I said, "Really?" I said, "Wow, okay." She goes, and I asked God, I said, "What is this?" She said, "The Lord said, this is the cloud of Moses." I probably didn't want to hear anything else after that because I'd get jealous. Handan, with her husband Bedros, are now the leaders of the church. Yeah, amen, amen. Okay, so I'm gonna. There's so many things else I could share with you, but I want to. What did we do? I want to bring out just some practical, maybe some principles you can call them. We sought the Lord for God to do something, and I believe God will do the same thing for here. He'll do the same thing elsewhere. Seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And one of them was we did not put restrictions on our worship. And Andrew and I agreed about so many things. It was amazing. Like, I mean, we disagree about some things, but so many times, he was the main leader, so he was going to make the decision anyway, but so often we were like in agreement. And we made a decision that we were not going to be people-friendly. We were going to be God-friendly. People say, oh, you know what, if you do this and you blow on people or this and that, they're going to be offended. If you go too long in your worship, they're not going to be able to handle it. And we said, no, we're going for presence. We're going to please God that he has a place to come and not please man. He has to be the priority. And that decision was critical for us. Because, I mean, Sunday morning was an hour or hour and a half of worship. And it was long. But praise the Lord. But the Lord came. He came and he came and he came again. Another thing was... prayer. We did the prayer chains, and we didn't continue those prayer chains. I can't remember how long they continued. But I was like, Andrew, we've got to have prayer. And it wasn't anything new. This is a praying church as well. So I'm just sharing the story. We just trying to, okay, Lord, we got to have prayer. So we have like an hour prayer on Friday night. We have an hour prayer on Sunday morning before the service. Not everybody got there on time, you know, but it was, you know. We had a Tuesday, was like 2 hours, 2.5 hours long. But we continued on in fervent prayer so that it would be sustained and would increase. And, you know, when it was like this, there were times where, okay, guys, we started out hungry. We started out desperate. We started out broken and said, God, this has got to happen. We can't just go, okay, that happened back then and just like, let's coast, right? Because the enemy doesn't want it to continue. And so it wasn't like just, well, I don't want to say it was striving, we're just wearing ourselves out, but there was still that necessity to persist in fervent prayer and not settle for anything less than what was happening, but to contend for even more to happen, right? So that was another one that was just very important for us. I think I probably talked long enough, so there's so many things we could share. Even up to recently, you know, we had a lady with cerebral palsy come out of a wheelchair out on the seaside. I don't know the end story of it. Was she completely healed and everything, whatever? But we were out in teams doing evangelism and laying hands on the sick. And one of our teams, I come by and I see Semra, one of our Turkish ladies, walking next to this lady with a wheelchair behind her. And we had people healed on our street. It just all kinds of. We had cancer healed. We had major disc issues healed. We had vertigo healed. I mean, all kinds of stuff. And I can just keep telling story after story after story. All kinds of stuff. It never ends. And I know you guys have experienced that here. But there were so many things. There's just no way to even to remember it all. Right, you know, we had the fragrance of the Lord in the service. There was a one man that came, and the fragrance of the Lord followed him for a week. His friends smelled the fragrance of the Lord, and he ended up coming to the Lord and got healed. Started speaking in tongues before it knew what it was. On, you know, it's things like that, and just some of the most interesting way that God revealed Himself to people. I mean, I had one guy tell me that God. Gave him a sign of his chest hair. No, he showed, he didn't, he was brand new. He did not hear any teaching from us to make him think that. He had this amazing dream where he sees this star and this oval, and it, was all connected to Isaiah and stuff like that. And he's sitting there sharing it with me, like, this happened. He goes, it was like, and I'm like, oh gosh, that's Isaiah 61, wherever, you know, the light comes and stuff. I'm ready to tell him, oh gosh, this is in Isaiah, this dream you had, this light you saw, that was Jesus. That was, you know. And then he says, when I woke up from my dream, I was crying out, Yeshaya, Yeshaya, which means Isaiah. And I had my Bible open to Isaiah, and I'm like, yeah. And he said, I went into the bathroom, and my chest hair was a star. No, he's looking at me like, what is that? I'm going to let me think here. I'm going to go back to my studies in seminary. Let's see. chest hair signs from God. That one escapes me. What can I say to the guy? It's not from God. He goes, do you want to see? I said, absolutely. Opens it up. Here's a star. I mean, there's another testimony where a man who's now a pastor, where his chest hair turned white when he was in Mecca doing a Hajj as a Muslim. Jesus appeared to him in a dream, and he woke up and he went to the bath, went and saw all of his hair was white. So that was one reference I had when this guy shared it with me. Okay, so what needs to happen? I'm going to go through this and we're going to close. What I shared with you was just pictures. That gives us vision of what God can and desires to do. And he wants to do a lot more. So we need to get the vision. And next week I'm going to be giving a biblical basis for revival, you might say. Right? Today I'm not referring to scriptures so much, just the testimony. But I want to show you, and it's very important to have this, I want to show you a biblical basis for a vision for God to do things much beyond maybe what you expect right now. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. And he wants us to go after that. So the vision. The next thing is that once we see this is what God wants to do for me, for my church, he wants us to get hungry. We become ravenously hungry, passionate. We desire it. At all cost, we've got to have it. I've got to go all the way to Florida from Turkey. I'm going to do it. I'm so hungry, I'm going to run up front, even if there's no spiritual worth to it. But it's just an expression of hunger. The next thing is to pray, obviously. But to pray big. Pray big. The devil hates it when we pray for big stuff. If we pray for stuff that's way below what God can do, it's not much of a threat. Mary Monson, I'm going to share this story another time, was a missionary in China back in the early 1900s, heard about the revival in Korea, and wanted to go visit, never was able to, but just heard all about it. And she made a decision. I mean, she had already been a missionary. She was already praying. But she made a decision, I'm going to start praying regularly, that China will experience revival like they're experiencing in Korea. So simple. You hear about what God's doing. It's absolutely off the charts. We need this. I'm going to start praying. And she said, I got up to walk over to the place where I pray in my house. I had made a decision. I'm going to start regularly praying for this. And she gets, I take a few steps and I get seized by a demonic spirit. She's getting choked. She rebukes it in the name of Jesus and it leaves. And she says, oh, that's how important this prayer is. You know good and well she was praying before, but when she started praying something like that, it was such a threat to the enemy, instantly a demonic spirit was sent to attack her. So pray big and copiously, obviously. And worship passionately without time restraints, until he comes in power and glory. It's just a different way of doing it. We're going to come and we're going to, you know, and Andrew picks 27 songs. We're going to come and we're going to worship and praise God until he comes. That's our goal. Right now, we're going to seek him and praise him until the heavens open and he starts coming. Amen. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you guys more hungry? You sure? You sure? You want more? Are you real? Okay. How willing? No, I'm not going to. Yeah. He is so good. He is so good. Guys, there were times that I didn't imagine these things happening. I was praying and praying and praying. It was in May 31st, 2008. I started praying like in 2004. Actually, I was praying even before that. But he came. So right now, I want us to have an opportunity to respond to the Lord. If you want more from the Lord, for yourself, for your church, for your family, for whoever you're connected with, if you want this, I want to invite you to come forward. We're going to come before God and call upon him and begin asking him to do it. So please don't be shy. So we're going to have this area open here. If you want more from the Lord, if you want the Holy Spirit to be poured out in greater power in your life, if you want to see him come at your church, come to your family, come to your relatives. Yes, Lord. And right now, it's not me. We're coming to the Lord. God who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that you would open up the heavens. Father, I pray that you would pour out your spirit and power. Lord, you told them to wait at Jerusalem until they were clothed with power from on high. And we saw the supernatural results of that later in the book of Acts, God. Lord, you are not a God has changed. You want to do the same things today. You want to do even greater things, Lord God. You want to do these things in and through the Rock Church, Lord God. And so, God, we just call upon you to do these things which for us are utterly impossible. There's absolutely nothing we can do to make it happen. God, it's completely in your hands, God. But Lord, we know that you want to meet the hunger of those that hunger after you and for more of you, Father. So Lord, we ask you in the mighty name of your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus, that Father, you would come in your power right now. God, in the name of Jesus, that Lord, you begin to bring your fire upon people right now in the name of Jesus. Bring your fire upon people right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, a fire of passion, a fire of hunger for you, Lord God, a fire that takes them beyond, Lord God, all of the things they worry about, their other desires, all of their practical things, God. We ask you in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, make us burning for you, Lord God. Make us burning for you, Lord God. May we be flames of fire in this generation, God. May we be flames of fire during this time period, 2022, Lord God. That, Lord, that through us, people might see your glory, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just release your glory in the name of Jesus. Let your fire come. Let your fire come. Let your fire come. Let your fire come, Lord. Lord, those things that came upon Andrew that we experienced in Turkey, Lord. Lord, let it overflow. Let it come here, Lord. Let it come here, Lord. Let it come here, Lord. From Bethesda, for D.C. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Father, there's some things we just don't have the ability to overcome. Lord, sometimes we're just tired. Sometimes we're just busy. But Lord, we want you to cut through all of that and make us just like Jesus in his character and in his works. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. More, Lord, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. More, Lord. More, Lord. An unrestrained fire. Unquenchable fire. Unquenchable fire. Lord, unquenchable fire, please, Lord, we ask you for it. We can't be on fire for you in our own strength, in our own flesh. Striving won't make us fiery for you. Lord, it's only your power that will make us full of fire. It's only you that makes us alive, Lord. We were dead in our transgressions, and by your sovereign purpose, you made us alive. You're the one who raises us up in the Spirit, Lord. Lord, let your life come. Lord, let your life come.